Blog Talk Radio.
What a crowd today.
What a crowd.
Our second to last show in Chicago. So yeah. I think people are a little excited.
Yeah, a little bit.
Second to last ditty here.
I know I'm excited.
Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. Pardon my cold. Pardon my cold as always, it seems. www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron on Facebook. I've been very sick all weekend. I think we got lucky here where it's subsiding at the same time as I'm having Brian Haley on.
Yeah.
So lucky me.
It'll probably roll itself back all the way like the ocean the minute he comes on.
So, Lee, so people know who you are.
Yes, Lee Capreas, hello.
And Steve Weirich, hello, everybody.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Ay.
Well, you know what? You're going to be one of those guys who gets into tea. Because I think you're going to have some, frequent with using your voice as much as these throat issues.
Yeah.
You're going to be a tea guy. Everyone in LA will be like, you
you're gonna be hitting up those. You're gonna be hitting up that Argo.
The
store.
Honey leaves, right. The honey leaves, or what kind of tea do they all drink? What's the like hoity-toity tea?
Green tea,
the black tea?
Yeah.
No, it's all kinds of teas now. They got the tea stores.
White tea is the one.
Yeah.
You
know, I think I tried that. They have a tea store at the Water Tower building.
Yeah, it's called Argo.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
So we're talking about the same place.
Uh huh.
And Lenny and I went there, and we're trying all these teas.
You could fart all day in there.
Yeah.
And you,
and
no,
you,
one,
no one would
yeah,
smell it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's good. It's true. And we're trying all these teas, and some of them were just disgusting. Like the white tea?
Yeah.
No. No good. No good. No.
Well, I'm convinced.
I like the white ones better than the fruit-flavored ones. I don't know why you would drink tea that tastes like fruit.
Yeah, just have some juice.
Have
juice. I agree. Steve, you a tea guy?
No, I don't like tea or coffee. I'm neither one. I don't smoke, so I don't really have voice issues usually, and people don't want me to talk, so I don't have talking issues usually. So I'm gonna be okay. But yeah, I don't do tea.
Oh,
but I always think of that. Like I'm thinking like the '90s sitcoms. I imagine
welcome
you
to the health show. We're doing today.
I envision you with a humidifier with the steam in your face and the towel over your head and maybe a 90s perm and drinking tea while you're sick.
Maybe you're rocking a neti pot.
Yeah, I'm busy fighting with Bruce Fretz on the internet right now.
Okay.
Are you busy doing that?
I guess gay jokes are below him and Brett Watson.
I didn't know they had a line.
I made a little joke, Bruce told me to watch it, sucker.
That would be below the belt. Uh-huh,
yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, what happened to meditation this weekend, Bruce?
Yeah,
would it be calm and threatening people already?
He's counting to 10 as we speak.
Bruce, what happened to your chakras?
Wow. So, yeah, they saw the two cranky guys saw Johnny English this weekend.
Yeah.
And you could see that at twocrankyguys.com. They did not like the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan of Rowan Atkinson.
I am.
I'm sure the film's no good. You know what? I'm sure it's...
Johnny English good?
I'm sure it's not their cup of tea to be...
Right.
Continue the theme of the show.
Yeah.
And the British theme as well.
This would be a question for them to answer, but why don't they ever go see anything
that they may like?
Yeah.
Well, then they wouldn't be so cranky.
Well, no, they saw Moneyball, and they were blowing that.
Well, Bruce blew Moneyball, and Brett said it was a double, not a home.
Oh, it was a double?
It was a solid double.
From two guys who strike out all the time.
Bruce's loins are burning.
I'm only kidding. Jokes.
So anyways, they saw Johnny
English.
We're
going to have to bring Terzo in to relieve you.
They saw Johnny English. They didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
And I made a comment that they need to see Bean.
Absolutely.
And but I also made a comment because they said they were going undercover to see Johnny English because it's a spy movie.
Uh-huh.
And I go, oh, you two are used to being undercovers. So, you know, gay joke.
Right.
Speaking of themes, are they reviewing The Three Musketeers anytime soon?
Oh, well, let's not get started with that. I wasn't invited to be a part of that.
Yeah. You weren't the third musketeer, are you saying?
No, I guess Nancy Bilyeu is so much better than me.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Lovely.
You
write a few books, and all of a sudden, you're God's gift.
Next time, Three Musketeers Part 2. You'll be that then.
So,
wow.
Brian Haley's on the show today. I wanted to bring that up
again. Mr. Brian Haley. Can we get a what for him? Come on.
Yes, a what. Well, you know, and I'm sure everyone in the audience is really excited.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's just Brian Haley.
Is it just?
Calm down, people.
No, they're all for him. They're all for him.
Okay. Well, he's in New York, and I'm going to see if he has any Craig Bierko stories.
Okay. Always a good time with one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
If or how many stories he has.
You're right.
Let's be real.
And he's done a lot of films with a lot of Tony Scott.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington. Martin Scorsese. Maybe you heard of him.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you heard of that guy. I believe John Hughes.
Really?
I mean, yeah, he's done some things with some pretty great people. Spielberg. I think he was in Always.
Wow.
I got to look this up. I could be totally BSing right at this moment.
Okay.
I don't remember Always as... I haven't always remembered Always.
No.
Put it that way.
No.
Not a terrible movie. It's not one of Spielberg's better films.
No, it's okay.
But I like Drive. He isn't Always.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, great film.
Right.
Great Stevie Spiels film.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
With my favorite, Dick Dreyfuss, who I'm a big fan of. I love Richard Dreyfuss.
Richie Dreyfuss.
But, I mean, listen to this. You know, he's on Wings for a long time. He was on Wings for a few years, I want to say. Mm. Worked with your boy, Kelsey Grammer, in McHale's Navy.
He did. He did.
Your other boy, Ed O'Neill, in a little movie called Little Giant. I mean, I think we got some interesting things to talk about here.
Yeah.
I think we do.
This will be quite the
Has
timeline.
He ever worked with Woody Allen? Woody Allen worked with, like, everybody.
No.
Oh.
No, he has worked with everybody. And I'm sure he feels really good now that he's the one guy.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this Bruce Fretz, he won't stop.
What?
Oh, he said that's hitting below the belt. He must be listening to you.
Right.
Must be. Well, I'm excited about all this.
Oh,
you know what I found entertaining?
Yeah, talk, because
I was gonna say,
so sick. I'm on 4 different meds right now. Can I tell you this? Okay, so I get sick Friday. Mm-hmm. I hate being sick. Just hate it. I loathe it. I'm moving Thursday, Friday morning. We're moving to L.A. I want to see my friends. I didn't get to see my friends this weekend. Nothing.
Okay.
And now I got 3 days to prepare to leave. Okay.
Jeez.
So I still have to take the car in. I still have to pack. I still have to buy some shit. 3 days. Okay. So I'm on Cold-Ease, you know, the cough drops that, like, prevent further sickness.
Right.
Tylenol cold day.
Yeah.
NyQuil at night. Robitussin pills. And what else was I taking a little here and there of? I mean, I was loading up. And I'm still sick. I had 3 cigarettes yesterday because I thought it felt better.
The stuff he's sneezing nighttime so you could get up and have your podcast medicine.
Yeah.
you know what the best thing about the best of this worst situation was? You last night, you were doing different laughs because it was hard for you to laugh. So you're like, oh, God, Steve, don't make me laugh.
Don't you just want to die when you're so sick that it hurts to laugh?
Well, unfortunately, I was opening up Pandora's closet.
By the way, I said Kelsey Grammer and McHale's. Maybe it's Tom Arnold. I don't know how I get those two confused.
You're thinking of Down Periscope.
So anyways.
Same movie.
Two completely different.
Same
movie.
I was
going to say.
I was opening up Pandora's box that is my family and talking about one of my siblings. And this is when Matt's just like, oh, God, I'm going to break a rib laughing.
Yeah. Yesterday, my sickness seemed to start up here and go down here as the week progressed. It went from up to bottom.
See, my illnesses travel north to my head. The last day.
It started north and then went south. And yesterday was in the rib cage area. So whenever I'd laugh, it hurt a ton.
Oh, yeah.
It would hurt.
You must have hated me yesterday.
Oh.
What were you doing?
Oh, by the way, can I tell you something?
I was tickling him during Naked Gun.
I had no stomach problems, but I've never farted so much in my life than this weekend. This is true. Like, Saturday, I literally had to pass the 100 mark in farts.
Wow.
100.
Wait a second. No, you've had, your ulcer, you had an ulcer at one point.
Didn't have fart that much.
No?
Not 100 times?
I don't know.
I'm not even kidding about the 100.
You must have blasted a hole through the seat cushion.
No, I literally, about halfway through the day, checked my underwear, 1 for stains, and 2 to see if I blew a hole through my underwear.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, come on. Oh,
no.
Yeah, and that is actually not as bad as this weekend.
What if you should have recorded all of those and then we'd have a new
fart soundboard?
A Matthew Aaron fart soundboard.
Oh, so yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, guess what?
What
Bruce
did you eat when you were
too
sick?
Busy for our show? By the way, he's watching Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, Bruce.
Okay.
Wow. Oh. So God.
So wait a minute. I'm sorry. You were sick and you were why were you farting? Were you eating onion rings?
No. I think it had something to do with the coughing or something. I don't know. I just had to fart a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe it was the meds all combined. It was weird. It was weird. I didn't have anything weird to eat. Like, I was basically drinking soup from Friday on.
Yeah.
Couldn't answer phone calls. Like I said yesterday, I called you and had Steve talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm like, Steve, talk to Lee.
That, yeah. At first, I was like, oh, man, this is really theatrical.
Yeah.
Well, I usually, usually when I do talk to people, it's usually awful news.
Yeah.
Like, usually my penance for anything is Matt tells me, all right, Steve, you have to tell this person
that. I'm a little annoyed right now.
What's that?
Dancing with the Stars is better than our show?
Oh.
Who's on this season? I'll tell you if it's better.
Chaz Bono.
Nancy Grace. Yeah.
David Arquette.
Rob Kardashian.
It's not better than our show.
Okay. Speaking of Rob Kardashian, Howard, we were listening
nothing
to Howard.
Nothing against Chaz Bono.
Bruce defends it as, I'm watching it with my Broadway-loving daughter because I'm a good dad.
Oh, listen, Fritz.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, a good dad, and you have Broadway.
All right, I'm going to transcribe this, Lee. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You heard me stammer through. It's not going to be a
complete
Lee
says,
all right,
a good dad.
I don't want to insult the man. I like him.
All right, well, I can talk.
Steve says...
I'd be more worried if it was your son into Broadway.
Well, okay. That's true.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve. What's your message to Bruce?
Listen, Fritz. At some point in life, the daughter's going to be 18 and moving out. And then when you're watching Dancing with the Stars, is it going to be because it's a contestant? What's it going to be? Just if you like to watch the show, which is okay, just be like, well, I like to watch the show.
I thought maybe he had a defense of why he'd rather watch that than listen to us. I think his daughter would learn a little more about culture.
Is she like a Broadway fanatic? Like,
oh, and by the way, earbud in one ear, TV ear on the other.
Yeah, you think that's what he's doing?
He could.
He could be doing
you
that.
You could be doing that. Not. Split the attention.
I don't want splitsies with Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I don't want splitsies.
You want undivided attention?
Yeah, you shouldn't have to compete for your attention with that.
I'm so sick, though. This is just disgusting. Yeah.
Cover your mouth.
Yeah.
Easy there. Yeah. Oh boy.
All weekend.
So
all
can I?
Weekend.
Can I?
Careful. This nylon stocking that goes in front of the microphone is a germ sponge, so don't cough into it.
You know, I had stories I wanted to talk about today too, stuff in the news and stuff. Anyone see that Steve Jobs thing on 60 Minutes, or should I just like not talk about it?
I didn't because yesterday I was busy.
I had a
wait, what does that mean? Why are you, like, undercover yesterday?
Yeah, I know.
Busy?
I kind
What's
of laughed. I don't know. I laughed into a very creepy voice.
Here. Yeah, you did.
No,
bit.
I didn't. I got really pissed the last time. I watched 60 Minutes a while ago, and it was about Google, and it was basically looked like it was a commercial for Google. So when I heard Steve Jobs was going to be on there, I thought it was going to basically not be a piece.
It wasn't that good.
A fluffy.
It wasn't that good.
Yeah. I got something I want to broach. Kind of news related, but. I don't know. It's not going to be on a new
Well, I was
going
to say why it wasn't that good, but go ahead, Steve. You want to broach something else?
Well, I would like to broach. Well, something that is.
Is it related at least?
Not to.
All right. Well, then let me go over this real quick.
All right.
I love how we're just going to leave the viewers with it. It wasn't good.
Yeah. Listeners.
Oh, okay. That's it.
Let me tell you about this asshole on the train today.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold on.
So Steve Jobs. They obviously did this piece to be the first ones to get out a piece on Steve Jobs post-mortem, right?
Yeah.
So there will be a lot better in the future. Basically, it's just Steve was an asshole, but Steve was a genius.
Right. Wait, an asshole genius?
Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have guessed?
Well, didn't we already know all this, though?
Yeah,
Wasn't this something if you read the newspaper every day, you know?
Exactly. Well, actually, it doesn't pertain to Steve Jobs because he was still alive when they made it, but there's a half-hour film that Errol Morris, the documentarian, made about Apple called We Were There with the Philip Glass score. That I think, is a better thing to watch than a shitty Steve Jobs piece. You need not know anything about Steve Jobs to enjoy that.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, now we'll let Steve do his little thing. Go ahead, Steve. You want to talk about life?
I was going to talk about Howard Stern last night. You
idiot. Oh, I got good news about Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Howard Stern is donating to prostate cancer.
Okay.
Due to Steve Jobs.
So,
Oh, that's it. Once again. Yeah. Okay, just like subject lines on this show.
Well, all right. Well, by the way, let me just say, you didn't add anything to that Steve Jobs thing. You didn't add a single
thing. I was
thing.
Working on it. I'm talking to Lee about it.
Right.
What is he talking about? I didn't add anything
no,
to
you
it.
You didn't. You were just like, what? We didn't already know this? That's what you said. You're like, we didn't already.
My point was, if you missed it, you missed nothing.
Yeah.
You missed nothing.
That's all.
So anyways, now that we brought up Howard Stern, you can go to richrocksnyc.com, RichRocksnyc.com, and you could buy a necklace that's a Tree of Life. It's 18 inches for $35 it retails for, and those proceeds are going to go towards pancreatic cancer research.
Pancreatic, yeah.
And that's Howard Stern doing something for the good of the people.
Well, you said prostate, though.
I'm sorry, I meant pancreatic.
Okay.
Prostate. What? Yeah. I just have that in the mind.
Yeah, right. You must. Although that's kind of good and informative something. Telling people that they didn't miss anything on 60 Minutes, I don't know how great that is.
Well, you people want to know. It was not a very good piece.
No.
60 Minutes is known for usually doing good pieces.
Right.
And I think noting this as being not one of their better pieces, we'll see if it marks a trend.
Did they have Andy Rooney host it?
No.
Is that why it was bad?
No. No, maybe it's going to be the post-Rooney, not so good 60 Minutes anymore. Okay.
Pointing out of the obvious, is that what you're saying?
All right, back to the nanny here.
Sometimes my iPod is smaller than... All right.
Oh.
You got anything, nanny?
I am not the nanny, but I was going to...
You got anything, Fran?
I was going to talk about our Meyer trip last night and how we were listening to Howard Stern and how entertaining I found it to be for Howard Stern to call a listener cunt several times over the Sirius subscription. And it was a part of Howard I hadn't heard in a long time.
You're going to say C word?
Cunt is a funny word. Not really a normal word. More of a... All right, good.
Oh, no, I didn't know what that... Well, no, it's just...
Anything else, filth mouth?
He was having...
I think you're just bringing this up so he could say the C word.
He was having it out with this listener. No, it was something I've never
heard. Always has it out with listeners.
That badly?
All the time.
To that degree?
Sure.
He told him to unsubscribe.
Yes. He's told Marianne to unsubscribe. Your girlfriend, Marianne Brooklyn.
He told her to
unsubscribe. Yes.
And she still promotes him.
This is something he does all the time. This is nothing new.
Oh, God.
This is nothing new. Maybe you just wanted to say the C word.
No, I'd never.
Steve knows full well if he wants to say the C word, he can just say
cleanse
it.
Cleanse your mind, you sick fuck.
I am sick, but it's not because of that. All right, I'll tell you that much. Oh, no.
Tell me why. Olive just said, by the way, she doesn't want to watch Dancing with the Stars, so she has no choice.
Wow.
Yeah. So now we got all the Bruce Fretz gossip. She doesn't even want to watch it. It's all Bruce.
Oh, Bruce.
I knew it. I knew it.
Like your opinion of Bruce dropping a little here?
You know what?
No, mine isn't.
No?
No?
No. Was it already that low?
You're the roughest on him.
No, it wasn't that low, and I'll tell you why. One, I'm not shocked because we've sat in the gazebo and flipped to Dancing with the Stars because Matt will be
I don't know what you're talking about.
Am I talking out of school here?
Okay.
Look, all I know is I like to support Chaz Bono because I'm a Ron Zimmerman guy.
Yeah.
I love Ron, and Ron loves Cher, and we have one big family. Support.
That's true.
Support.
Support.
So, I'm sorry, Steve, you don't want to support Chaz? Is that what you were saying?
No, I actually just said my opinion of Bruce didn't get any lower. It was not low to begin with.
Oh,
it was already low.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it was low ever since that Nirvana concert.
It can only go up from here.
Here we go.
No.
Listen to two of you.
All I'm saying.
Is there nothing to watch on TV, though? I mean, that you'd have to watch Dancing with... I mean, there's like...
It's Dancing with the Stars. What's on right now? Two Broke Girls is on in like 7 minutes.
No, but like stuff on HBO and Showtime and that shit.
Well, maybe they don't have that kind of.
There might be
Bruce
football.
Has HBO.
Maybe Bruce doesn't have the cable television.
Oh
yet.
No, of course he does.
I don't know.
Is it Boardwalk
Empire?
I've
seen Bruce's
some shit on?
TV and he has the antennas with the tinfoil wrapped around them. And sometimes he gets color if he's lucky.
Do you ring his doorbell by putting the two wires together?
Yes. Yes.
Broke ass shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no football on, is there?
You should listen to his door. Here's his. Here's the way it happens when you ring his doorbell. I'm like, really, Bruce?
Yeah.
Your Stamos obsession goes this far?
Oh, no.
Ding dong.
Yes.
You were at the Fred Town.
Cut it out.
Cut it out.
Cut it out.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if the kids, you know what I should send his kids for Christmas?
Full House?
Full House DVDs.
Yeah. Good wholesome fun for everyone.
Oh, yeah. God.
Olive would love them.
She would.
Ken, it's time.
Oh,
Full
yeah.
House time. Johnny Stame's time.
Are you trying to keep her from becoming a woman?
What?
Is that why
I'm trying to keep Bruce happy.
That's what Full House does. I have this theory that watching Full House slows the aging process for people under 20.
Oh,
explain me then, because I watched a lot of it under 20. I look like I'm 50.
So
you were watching something else to offset that.
Oh.
Like Unsolved Mysteries.
I was, actually. It's true.
Doobity-bop-bada.
I love scatting. I think of a different kind of scat when I hear that, though.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
You were a Zatarain commercial.
The kind that happens in your bedroom.
Right.
Late at night. Wearing your Home of the Whopper undies.
Scatting is
that
funny.
Kind of scatting is the one you think of.
Scatting is weird.
Oh.
I find scatting to be... I'm going to be doing Andy Rooney impressions all night. We're going to have to just roll with it.
Oh.
I know.
Look how sick I am. You know what? We should get Bruce on the show Wednesday.
Yeah, we should.
So there's rumors that someone else is going to be on the show Wednesday, and I don't think they get along.
Really? Is it Harrison Ford?
Yeah, we're having a show Wednesday. Nick,
yes, Nick.
Bieber wants to know if we're having a show Wednesday. Yes, we are having a show Wednesday.
Yes, the Biebs.
So you should come on by before you leave. You are leaving like that Thursday, right?
We're leaving Friday morning.
Yes, but isn't Nick
leaving
a day? I don't
think we've told Biebers this yet.
Oh, that's right. We haven't.
We're leaving Friday morning at 4 a.m.
4 a.m. Friday.
We didn't see a reason to leave it Thursday. We'll be there too soon.
Yes, too soon.
Yeah, no shit. That's when you were supposed to leave. Yeah, no shit. Yeah, no shit.
You're going down to STD.
He's an angry little man.
He is. Nick, you don't want to go to Normal, Illinois.
Shut up, little man.
Normal.
He is an angry, angry little man.
So anyways.
See, Bruce knows me too well. He just asked me, who else will be guesting?
Don't tell him. That's the surprise. Come on. It's a surprise. It's a going away present, even though we're not even anywhere close to Bruce.
No. It's our New Jersey connection. I love how both people were trying to get on Wednesday are New Yorkers.
Is it Ann Coulter?
No. No, I wish.
No.
I wish. Tobias just texted me here. 3 minutes to Brian Haley. That's what I'm planning on.
3 minute.
I sound like shit though. I don't even know what.
Can
to
I tell
talk
you something?
About.
I'm not. I would tell you because I don't give a fuck. But you don't sound that bad.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Don't sound normal, but you don't. I mean, you're not like. You are. You definitely are a little congested, but you don't have a. You don't seem like you have a sore throat.
Yeah.
Oh, can I say something that I hope you won't construe into something awful? Because that's your move, by the way.
What's that?
I want to say how great of a status post you reposted Harvey Fierstein's status about giving Obama respect.
Oh yeah.
And I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Hey, now calm down on the Harvey. Hey.
Sorry.
I enjoyed it a lot. Also, I love his reference of Bin Laden and some other nasty folks. Because I can hear him saying this whole thing. And
Bruce is going to join us Wednesday.
Nasty folks.
So Wednesday we're gonna talk with Bruce about this whole Dancing with the Stars.
That was
thing.
The term that Harvey Fierstein used for the likes of Osama bin Laden and his ilk.
I believe it was nasty folks. I believe.
You want me to find the exact posting?
Yes,
I'm going to have to go on the Wayback Machine for this.
No, it was like a day or two ago.
Okay, this was from my good pal
Harvey
Fierstein. Obama announced. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do Harvey. But Obama announced the end of American troops in Iraq, and no one is talking about it. Hello. What does that man have to do to get some credit from people? He ended Don't Ask. He's fighting DOMA. He's extended marriage benefits to Fed employees. He's given us a healthcare system we could build on. He saved us from a full-blown depression. He killed Bin Laden and a few other nasty types. And now he's ending Bush's idiotic war in Iraq. And he's done it all pretty quietly while fighting back challenges to his every word from the GOP, which got us into all these messes to begin with in the first place. People, a little respect.
God, wow, Harvey.
God love you, Harvey. That's great.
And Harvey doesn't post a lot of political stuff. He doesn't get all that emotional about it, but there you go.
I just relived the Independence Day clips of him while reading.
Yeah,
David!
Right.
David!
Well,
can,
David.
Can I share something relevant to that? I was writing a response to that in my tin can in my driveway when a huge flash of lightning came very close
to me. Made you poop your trousers?
Well, because I was like, I wasn't completely agreeing, but I wasn't disagreeing, and I'm like, oh shit, God must love Obama. I better reword this so that I don't get struck by lightning.
You know what? Even my Republican friends, though, are starting to realize what's going on and are very much easing up on Obama.
Yeah.
They're like, I still don't like him. They'll call him Odrama or, you know, whatever, but they'll, you know, but.
Or that other thing we're not going to say.
Yeah. But they will say he has done these things.
Right.
Like you can, I've always said this. I said this since the beginning of his term. In history, in 50 years, we're going to look back and we're going to realize this man has done more for us than most of the presidents in our lifetime. It may be a one-term deal. It may be a two-term deal. But in 50 years, you're going to look back and go, wow, I didn't realize he did as much shit for us as he did.
Matt, Ronald Reagan, hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. He may have to replace our Reagan boners out
there.
Oh,
yeah, right.
But,
at least we'll be bigger, you know.
But that's always been my opinion on Obama.
At least we'll remember them.
I have a feeling whether it's one term or two, and I think it'll be two, but whether it's one term or two, I think you're going to remember a lot of stuff. In 50 years, you're going to be like, man, no one did as much as him.
We'll see. America's.
That's my opinion. We will see. We will see. But I think the tides are going to turn once you have kids. They're in high school. And they may look at Barack Obama like he's Jack Kennedy.
They won't be looking at much. They'll probably have too many birth defects based on how I live my life.
Oh, based on how you live your life. Yes.
Oh, it's
well,
funny.
I don't know if you'll be having kids if you keep wearing those Home of the Whopper undies. I don't know what woman's getting into bed with you over.
No, please.
That's the honeymoon.
If that doesn't spell potent seed, I don't know what does.
Oh, it's potent something.
By the way, Bieber disagrees with your assessment.
He's an idiot. I just can't wait for an episode of Law & Order SVU about Lee's Home of the Whopper undies. Like, they found them.
They were found at a crime scene.
Yeah. Oh, you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be Jack McCoy. And he's going to be like, where were these Home of the Whopper undies? We found semen and vaginal juices on them.
Vaginal, yeah, right.
Oh, it's great.
And then Jerry Orbach will come back from the dead
somehow
and say some one-liner to open the show, and that'll be it.
I wouldn't mind suffering abject humiliation like that on the show that has been jumped the shark more times than any other in history.
No, don't you insult my Law & Order.
I'm not.
Don't start.
But if Jerry,
all right, hold. We got a phone call, and you do not insult my Law & Order.
All right, we're coming back to this because I had a question about.
Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
It's Brian Haley. Who canceled?
Brian Haley. How you doing? How's show business?
That's great. I just broke up with my girlfriend, and boy, are my arms tired.
So, Brian, you know, it's kind of funny you called at this moment. Lee was bashing my Law & Order.
I was not.
You were on the Law & Order.
I was on the Law & Order Criminal Intent twice.
Sure. Yes.
So I'm reoccurring.
Yes, with the D'Onofrio and the Catherine. How do you say her name? Is it Irby? Irby?
Yes.
Yes, good enough.
Yes.
So, Lee, tell Brian, what's your problem with Law & Order? What's your problem?
Well, Brian, I got into a rather epic, you got a yes and this. I got into a rather epic discussion last week with a friend of mine about which show had jumped the shark more times, The Simpsons or The Simpsons or Law & Order, and he said The Simpsons, and I said Law & Order, and he said, have you seen all of Law & Order? And I said, no, and that was the end of the discussion.
Yeah.
Yes, Law and Order may have they had a shark episode? They may have. They've covered pretty much everything. I mean, how many ways can people die?
Maybe when they went to L.A., they had a shark episode. I didn't see all the L.A. ones.
Oh.
Yeah. That's really a bread and butter factory for actors in New York.
It is.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome because they rehire and they do a lot of casting. So I'd have to say it's The Simpsons.
Yeah, and Simpsons, I can point to specific episodes too, specific Law shark episodes.
Nice. That's nice.
Law and Order is still a very fresh, vibrant, and relevant show.
That's right.
Has outstanding right. casting.
If Warren Light is listening, that is right. Brian Hale loves Law and Order. Damn it. Brian, I was going to ask you, you've done a lot of very memorable films with a lot of very memorable people, but before we get to that, you have a past with stand-up comedy. You're a stand-up comedian. What was the start for you? How'd you get involved with the business and doing what you do?
A matchbook cover. I saw a matchbook cover on the ground. It said, "Would you like to be a comedian?" And I filled out the little form there, and I submitted some jokes with it, and they got right back to me and said they were the funniest jokes they had heard in a long time, and I was eligible to take their $350 course. So for $350, I learned how to draw a clown in the shape of my fist, and also how to do stand-up comedy. I just grew up loving stand-up, and I know I've heard your show a few times. I know you have an affection for Johnny Carson, as
we do.
Pretty much every male over the age of 40 does. And just grew up watching the comedians on The Tonight Show. Had a pretty troubled childhood, so comedy was a great release for me, escape for me. And it was fun to get into that, memorize albums and stuff, Bill Cosby, Fire Sign Theater, and all that stuff. So it was kind of a natural progression for my life. I was just kind of going in that direction, although I did take a detour as a logger and a Green Beret and a few other crazy things. But eventually, when I kind of settled down in my early 20s, it was just something I always wanted to try. And so I started doing open mics in Seattle. And it just kind of took off. My first time up, there were, basically it was like two people in the audience and a fight broke out. It was that kind of a show. There was, I think, maybe four audience members, two of whom were my brother and my best friend. And my brother had my bits written on little index cards, and they were the cue cards, and he was flipping them. And halfway through my act, he just got so into my act, he was so into it that he forgot to flip the cards, and I didn't know what my next bit was, and that actually got the biggest laugh of the night.
Oh, that's pretty good, actually. Yeah, well, you had that set up. Now, what you said, you were a Green Beret, a logger. What are some of the other Joe jobs you had when you're just starting out and everything? Anything real shitty?
Look, shoe salesman at JCPenney.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I went back to bucking hay. That's how bad that was. I couldn't take the shoe salesman job. I said, I got to. But I always kind of liked manual labor, so that was kind of a, I don't know, just kind of brainless, hefting.
You're a big man. You got that, that build for some manual labor.
I'm kind of more like, kind of like George, not too smart, just like I like pet. Soft things, to pet the bunnies. I had a job as a waiter for a day, and I could just immediately tell that wasn't going to work. I worked as a fry cook at A&W. Cooked a teen burger basket for Dick Van Dyke.
All right. He won't do my show. Dick doesn't like the language.
No.
I am. Yeah. Dick's not a fan of the language. That's a shame.
Funny, the movie he was shooting was a movie called The Runner Stumbles, about a priest who has a falling out with his faith.
Oh. We'll see what would have been perfect, Dick.
Yeah. Anyways.
So you made burgers for Dick Van Dyke. That's kind of awesome.
I did. And I just started doing... Go ahead.
All the time you were thinking, man, I would rather be bucking hay than bucking hay.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that kind of stuff. I like ditch digging. I really do. If I ever got sent up the river and they made me bust rocks, I'd probably be pretty happy doing it. Just a sledgehammer and some big rocks. And
you know, Brian,
I had
Neil Flynn on the show, and he's a pal of the show's, and he's a good guy. But he's just like you. He loves doing work around the house. He loves lifting things. Like, he's into that whole thing.
Yeah.
Very Tim Allen of you two.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, I've always kind of been an athlete, and it's just fun to not have to think for a while. I think I think too much. I've decided my problem is I care too much.
Oh.
And it really is a problem, because it gets you into a lot of trouble. Having to...
Examples?
Well, you know, having to remind people of traffic laws. things like of that sort, having to remind people of what is a safe distance to be from my rear bumper. That just happened, actually. And finally, I just slammed on the brakes and got out of my car. And, you know, the guy jumps out of his car like a loaded spring. And I just told him, you know, politely to get off my rear end. A little loud, but I said it politely. not in those exact words. But at any rate, it turned out he was a cop.
Oh, keep it classy.
He said, get back in your car or I'll lock you up.
Oh.
And, so, you know, that's the type of trouble that caring can get you into. I care, and it shows.
Sounds like you live in California.
Oh, it sounds like you live in New York.
With the bad drivers.
I could have ignored him and let him go on and live with that air, but I thought I'd give him a little life, you know, coaching and help him out a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's the right thing to do. It's a nice thing to do. Is this a New York story or a Los Angeles story?
Yes, in New York. I'm in New York.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say all the cops I've dealt with in Los Angeles have been nice to me, so I am white.
Well, I like the New York cops. I really do. This was in New Jersey, and I was and he was a plain clothes guy. He was I'm assuming he was a cop because he said he was going to lock me up. Now that he might have been a drill instructor, you know. He might have been. He was going to put me in detention or something. I don't know. Or maybe he just has a dungeon in his basement.
Yeah,
but,
he could be a creep. Yeah.
He did kind of look like a cop and behave
Bruce
like
Brett
a cop.
Live in Jersey. Oh yeah. Now it all comes together.
Yeah. I was going 5 over the limit, by the way, which is why I was upset. I was doing my best to, you know, go with the flow of traffic. And
5 over the limit's okay, though, right? I mean, you don't get tickets for that
in New York.
Yeah, in this suburban area I was. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, look, I'm doing my part.
I've always been told as long as you go, like, right under 10 over the limit, you're good.
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
That's what I've been told. So
that's what I'm saying next time I get pulled over. Matthew,
Matthew
Aaron, Matthew says it's okay.
10. Yeah. 10 over. Those speed limits are
just... He's on the radio. He couldn't say it if it weren't true.
Right. Those speed limits are just suggestions. That's what you tell them I said. So, Brian, what was, like, your big break then? What was, like, was it in stand-up? Did you get cast in something?
Well, absolutely. That's a no-brainer. I mean, I was... I had had some moderate success, and what a lot of people would consider to be pretty good success, but, you know, I did, remember, Evening at the Improv, I did a bunch of those, and I did a movie with Spielberg called Always. I had a small part in that, just some minor stuff, but I got the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson finally, and that just made things blow wide open. It was crazy. I mean, it was an old back then. That was still back in the days. This was July of 1990, so it was still in the days when everyone watched Carson, and he would have his. They would break new comics on Friday night, and that was when I was on Friday night. And you know, it was just like a fairy tale. I went from having 1 week in Jacksonville to having my own show at Fox, an HBO special, and 2 weeks at Caesars. I mean, it was just crazy.
Yeah, it seems a lot of people we've talked to, once they got Carson, that was it. That was like the moment. And
Yeah, it could be. It wasn't necessarily, you know. I mean, if you hit it on the right night and you had a good set, it's a very fickle art form, you know, to stand up. And I happened to have a really good set. I had it on set, and it all came together, and all the right people were watching, and boom, it blew up.
How did you prepare for Carson, Brian? Like, what was going through your mind when you get the call from, I'm assuming, your manager or whoever saying, hey, I got you booked on Johnny, and you're like, holy shit. And what do you do? Do you go to the standards? What do you do?
Well, you know, it's a little bit more different than that. I mean, you try and get the Tonight Show. You aim for it, and you audition for a guy named Jim McCauley. He's dead now, God rest his soul. He was a great guy. You know, he went out and found comics. That was his only job for Carson. He went out and got comics. And so you'd have what you thought was Tonight Show material. And when McCauley would come into a room, I swear it was supernatural. It was really bizarre. The word would go out at the speed of light. You would instantly know he was in the room. And I'm backstage getting ready to go on at the Santa Monica Improv, and someone says, Haley. And I go, yeah. I turn around and go, McCauley's here. Oh, crap. So I start shifting my set around. You know, I'd like to have a little bit more warning than this. I've auditioned for the guy a dozen times already, and generally you show up, he's gone. There's a pyramid stack of empty beer cans on his table, and, you know, you hear nothing. But anyways, I start shifting my set around, and Perry Como is the Antichrist. That's out. Let's see. This is okay. So I'm doing what I think is Tonight Show material, and I go up in my first 5 minutes, bomb. And then I think, well, there's no way I'm going to bomb on this in this room. This is my room. I own this room. I just tear the roof off this room normally. So I'm going to at least get the crowd back. I don't care anymore about getting the Tonight Show. I got to get this crowd back, especially with McCauley in the room. I got to at least show them that I can really work a room. So I start doing the stuff that I love and start getting the crowd back. And by the end of my set, I had a monstrously good set, and I ended. A week later, I'm at the main improv, the one in Melrose in Hollywood, and in walks McCauley. Now, again, he's already seen me and passed on me a half dozen times, said, you know, you're not Tonight Show material or whatever, you're not ready or whatever. Anyways, he walks in, I think, oh, geez, here we go. And I go, hey, Jim. He goes, hey, Brian, saw you at the Santa Monica Improv last week. I go, yeah, well, you can't win them all. He goes, yeah, the first 5 minutes, this is a really good impression, by the way, if you know Jim McCauley. First 5 minutes really sucked, but I like the stuff you did after that. I'd like to talk to you about doing the show. And I stood there at the bottom of the stairwell, just fixed in my mind for the rest of my life, that moment. When I just realized, holy shit, I just got the Tonight Show. I can't believe this. It was the greatest moment of my life.
And did you grow up watching the Tonight Show and, like, loving it? Was that, like, your thing?
I did. I my mom would let me stay up late and watch the comedians on there. And, you know, you kind of had to live in that era to appreciate what a god he was. He was just idolized. And all of America, we used to sing the Tonight Show theme song when, you know, Coach Norris would come out for PE, you know, whatever. It was just always, you know, it was just a part of your life. And to stand behind that curtain.
I was not fortunate enough to grow up during Carson. I can say, though, I've seen much of Carson since then. Thank God for DVDs and all that. Yeah. He brought out the best in everybody. He was the perfect host. He was the perfect host.
He did. He was absolutely perfect. I mean, you know, and he wasn't the funniest host ever. I think Letterman is probably one of the funniest guys to ever host a show, just as far as fast is concerned. But he was lightning fast, Carson was. But he was just so – he was very quick on his feet. And he wanted more than anything to make his guests look good. And so, you know, on my first time on a panel, that's when you sit down with him, a joke of mine bombed, and he totally bailed me out. I did a bit. I go, I had a set, you know, he sets me up. I have a set up piece, and I go, he goes, you drive here or something? I go, it was real clumsy like it is now. The bit goes, I was driving through the desert, and there's a sign that says, please do not throw burning objects from automobile. And of course, that's the time my Apache Indian friend decides to start shooting his flaming arrows from the car. And I go, no, no, Running Bear, not now. Heat bed time, something like that. Anyway, gets no laugh. And Carson just gives me a look that it goes, this perfect timing. He says, like 500 deer staring in the headlights. The audience busts up. He goes to commercial. Totally saves my ass.
Oh, man.
It was beautiful.
That's great.
He was the king.
Who was your favorite guest when Johnny would have people on when you were growing up? Like, who were the guys that Johnny would have on? You're like, oh, this is going to be good. I can't wait.
Yeah, definitely, I think, always loved it when Rickles was on.
I was going to say, my fave. Yeah.
The best guest host I ever saw was Rickles.
Yeah.
He was awesome. That week when he broke Carson's
cigarette holder, yeah.
Yeah. That was a great week. He was just hilarious.
And then it was great because they had him back. When Johnny came back, they did that skit where he bumps into Johnny. Johnny's looking for him. Yeah. Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
When Rickles was on the lot filming something, Johnny came back.
CPO Sharky. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And Johnny went looking for him because he broke the cigarette hole. That's classic. That was one of the best.
Oh, my God. That was beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
I was going to say Johnny did, he did have some funny bits. His monologues tended to be kind of corny, but he was just so darn likable. But he did one of my favorite jokes I ever heard him do was actually on the first joke he did the night I was on. I remember it's a great little bit. He goes, the crowd, applauds wildly forever. They finally die down, and he goes, perfect timing. You ran out of applause just as I ran out of humility.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how he was. He was great. And then, you could tell guys like Conan and Dave, they kind of try to emulate a little bit of Johnny. That's how you could tell how great he was, is that they borrow a little bit from Johnny.
Yeah, but I think Conan would admit it himself.
I'm sure they would.
Letterman would, but they're both kind of neurotic people, They're kind of anxious people deep down. Carson was just a calm, classy movie star kind of a guy. He was cut from that bolt of cloth that Cary Grant and Dean Martin kind of guy, He was just a solid, super nice guy. And a really classy dude. I don't mean to say classy that Conan's not. I mean, I'm just saying that Conan tends to be more neurotic, and I think Johnny was a little bit more.
He was more
Midwestern.
Yeah, I agree. That's probably.
I love Conan. By the way, he's fantastic. Probably one of the funniest guys on TV. Just in case
it's hard to do.
Listening.
It's hard to do that, though. 5 nights a week, you're 150, 160 nights a year. It's hard. It's hard to do 5 good shows a week.
Draining.
It's hard to do 1 good show a week. I mean, look at Howard Stern. Howard Stern does 4 hours a day, and, some people are like, well, his humor is so filthy or this and that. Hey, he's got a lot of time to fill.
Yeah.
Not everything can be A-grade material.
Right.
But,
yeah.
That's why I make my interviews so long. That's why I have a guy like Brian Haley come on talk for an hour, because I don't have that much funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping we can edit this down to a 3-minute interview that I can post somewhere and actually make myself sound funny.
Right.
Well, Brian, I was going to ask you. So then you did Johnny. Okay. Now, were you touring for a while and then you got casted in? I'm trying to lead up until when you got into Always, Steven Spielberg.
Well, it went like this. I started doing stand-up, and then after about pretty quickly, by 85, I started doing open mics and stuff. And then by 88, I was in L.A. 3 years, and I was headlining. I was not ready for headlining, but I was headlining, which led to some very interesting shows at about the half-hour mark. And then I got a few things once I moved to L.A. I did Classic Concentration with Alex Trebek. Won some lawn furniture. It was nice. Won a trip to Rio. I got some other little stuff. I come from an acting background, just theater. So I knew how to act, at least enough to get by. And so I had landed a small part in Always, and I landed a bit on the CBS thing, Robert Altman movie of the week, The Caine Mutiny Court Martial. So I had done little stuff, but the Carson thing just blew everything wide open, and I immediately got a deal for my development deal for my own show at Fox, and that changes everything when you're put given that kind of press and that kind of attention in Hollywood, so they didn't like the first thing I did with Tom Gamble and Max Prost. Now, I see you're friends with Tom Gamble. I don't know if you know who he is.
Yeah, I'm well aware of Tom Gamble and his writing abilities. Is he currently doing Curb to Steve?
Probably is. He's Curb in that group.
And Seinfeld. Everyone knows Seinfeld. One of the best shows ever.
Yeah, you'll see his name and his partner, his writing partner, Max Prost, come up as producers at the beginning of Seinfeld. But they wrote a show for me. This is pre-Seinfeld at Fox, and it was just too weird because that's what Max and Tom do. And I really think anything that's really weird about Seinfeld that you love, some of their most outrageous episodes, that's Max and Tom. And this stuff was just too weird. It was called The Hipsters. There may be a clip of it on YouTube somewhere. And didn't go. And then Max and Tom went on to be head writers for Seinfeld and did, The Simpsons and everything else. Then I did another series with Paul Flaherty as my showrunner, as my Larry David. That's Joe Flaherty's brother from Second City.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that one didn't work out. That one didn't work either. So I had 2 years at Fox, but then I was able to, it was pretty easy for me. All the doors kind of opened up for me for, getting good roles, good auditions for good roles and good movies and stuff like that.
Well, that's good. So you got a lot of opportunities from even doing pilots that didn't get on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when you're the star of the pilot and the Hollywood Reporter is talking about you like you're the next big thing. I mean, I was in an article with a comedy article in the Hollywood Reporter that said today stand-up comedians are all the rage. Some of those poised to make the jump to their own show are Jerry Seinfeld, Gary Sandling, Ellen DeGeneres, Brian Haley, and I was the only guy on that list that whose show didn't hit. That's the way it goes. It's a crapshoot. May not have been ready. It might have been too much too quick. I mean, I'd only been doing stand-up 3 years when I moved to L.A., and then just a couple more years before I got on the Tonight Show. I don't know that I was necessarily ready, although I don't know that Drew Carey was ready either. He got a show, damn it.
Right. Well, I was going to say, you've done some pretty good acting, though. Do you think the acting has helped your, the longevity of your comedy career, too? Do you think it helps as a stand-up to be an actor as well? Especially a good one like you.
I don't know, because I haven't seen many people make the transition from acting to stand-up. It certainly helped me, because I don't think I'm as funny as other guys, like Zach Galifianakis, who just are brilliantly funny. I tend to be funny not because so as much as the written word, although I do write some hilarious jokes. I just wrote one a couple of years ago. Here, I'll throw it out, I'll bounce it off you.
Yes.
Couple of years ago.
How's it go? Yeah, I wrote this 2.5 years ago. it goes, I was going to check myself into a mental hospital, but the line to get in was insane. So I can keep up with them, but just not at their pace.
Now this leads me to you have to when you tell a joke like that, I have to open this can of worms. I noticed you and I have a mutual friend in Craig Bierko.
Oh, I love Craig. He's a bona fide crazy person.
Yeah, I was gonna say, since we're talking mental institutions.
Yeah, Craig's a friend of the show. Say that.
Craig and I go way back, yeah. do you have any good Bierko stories? We always share Bierko stories on this show.
All you have to do is meet Bierko, and you've got a story.
Yes.
I mean, pretty much. The meeting of him will be a story in and of itself. The guy is bona fide crazy. He's in the best way. He's absolutely insanely passionate about whatever is going on in front of him.
Yes.
So if it's acting, it's acting. The Twitter he just received, it's Twitter. But yeah. I'm going to meet him at a restaurant in the village, and just going to have lunch and chat about some ideas. And this is the first time I've actually sat down and met him. And he shows up about 15 minutes late. Now, we've been communicating on the phone because I couldn't find the restaurant for about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I get to the right restaurant, and I'm there. And he's not there about 10 minutes later, and I'm waiting outside in my stretch Hummer with the neon underneath because I don't want to enter second, you know, or first. I want to make sure I make a big – no, anyways, I'm sitting there waiting. And finally, he shows up running in, bursting through the doors, panting, covered in, like, you know, like leaves and straw and stuff, stuck to his sweater and his hair a mess with this crazy look in his eyes and his camera. Like, in front of him, he's filming it as he comes in and sticks it in my face. And, you know, I have to say, and that's the way it was. This is Brian Haley. You know, I don't know what to say. I say something like that. And then he sends me later on, he sends me after we have lunch and talk and hang out for a while. He sends me the video that he shot that explains everything. And it's him laying in the street about two blocks away, and then he, you know, he's filming all this on his iPhone, and then he bolts upright, looks at his watch, and he takes off running through New York, probably about four blocks, through people and everything, and bursts into the restaurant, covered in straw and leaves and his hair a mess.
So you know. I have stories very similar to this about Craig. And so I'm wondering, in your opinion, do you feel like he's just always on, or do you just feel like Craig's a different guy?
Well, I don't know the difference between the two. I think they're both great. You know,
they are.
You're going to have to explain the difference between the two.
Well, you know, there's some guys that just like putting on a show, you know, they always got to be on. They always, you know, when they're around people, they got to be boom on. Do you think Craig's the same way when no one's around than he is when he's around people? I've always wondered this about Craig, and I don't think I'll ever get a straight answer out of him.
I don't know that it really matters. I think that what he puts forward there is just what he wants to be. So, you know, if he's in sleeper mode when he goes home, he's just, you know, thinking up new ideas.
The only person I'm curious of what he does at home.
He sleeps 1 hour a night,
yeah.
Upside down.
Well, for NFL
I'm sure it's very normal. He probably yells at his dog and, you know, he goes into whisper mode and he sits in his chair there and stares into space for a while, just like all of us. And
I mean, when I get random phone calls from him, he'll leave me the weirdest messages or whatever, or he'll ask me because I'm in Chicago if I'm eating steaks and smoking cigarettes, or, you know, like, I'm like, Craig, what are you talking about?
The Barbara Eden one?
Oh, I love him. I love him. He's the greatest. But, like, everybody I talk to just has these crazy Craig stories, and I'm like, the guy's always on. Like,
he's so fast, though, that, you know, I mean, I would think it were an act, it were him showing up, you know, with just some sticks and leaves stuck to his sweater. If that were the end of the story, then you know, then I'd say, well, I don't know, maybe it's just an act. But that's just where it begins. That's your introduction to the guy.
Yeah.
And then comes the salt shaker and the, you know, the what the waiter is wearing, and you know, I mean, he's just so fast, and he has something, you know, five things to say. I threw out a phrase that I thought nothing of. I said, oh, geez, whatever. Anyways, never mind. I got to stop drinking. we come up with something like that, we'll be the cat's meow. No, we'll be sitting in the catbird seat, I said. So you come up with something like that, we're talking about Twitter ideas or, you know, new media ideas.
Yeah.
I go, well, we'll be in the catbird seat if we can do that. And then he just goes off on, whoa, the catbird seat, what are we, back in the 20s, 23 Skidoo, hey. Yeah, that's the cat's pajamas. And
no,
he's just boom, 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 boom. He's got, you know, his mind is always going 100 miles an hour.
I said we were talking about Frank Sinatra, and I used the word broad about something. I said, oh, she was a classy broad. And he starts going off in this, like, 60s gangster Frank Sinatra voice, and he's like, yeah, those dames back then, blah, 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 blah.
What a swell tomato.
Yeah, so I'm sitting next to Capone. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
We're in Gibson's. You don't need to put on a show at 11 a.m., pal. I'm barely awake. I'm good.
He was very clear to me, too, that he was trying to get rid of friends. And that he was not interested in making any new friends.
Yeah, he tells me that he says he's the Charles Grodin in my life, like him and Letterman are, where Grodin hates doing his show and everything.
Oh, I love that. Love that.
He says
he's
just stuck with me. He's very kind. Very kind, that Bjorko.
Yeah, that is what I like about him. And his most redeeming factor is that he's a genuinely nice guy that is an advocate for kindness. He really appreciates people that are good. And can tell that just comes across that he's not so much concerned about success by Hollywood's terms as he is success by old school terms, being a good person.
Yeah, and him and I very much support the Loma Linda Children's Hospital. And
yeah, that's all a scam.
Well,
he's taking all that money.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it is, he's eating a lot of paninis on my dime.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, he's taking people to cleaners on that one.
Oh, the fucking beer.
Oh,
no.
Man. That was quite a thing.
He showed me.
They gave it on our show, though.
So, Brian, how often are you out in L.A.?
I sometimes will go out there for pilot season, and I may go out there this year for pilot season. That's, for those who don't know, that's basically mid-January to mid-April, where the TV shows cast all their pilots. But not as much as I'd like, but once a year.
Yeah, so or you'll more. Go out there for pilot. What about
probably going out in December? I go out for projects, if I get work or if I have something that brings me out there, I'll go out. But
I was gonna say, you have got to work with some of the, like, this just shows how talented you are, but also how charmed your life is, because you've gotten to work with the best. I mean, you've worked with Marty Scorsese. You've worked with Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood, now, I saw Gran Torino. Did you play his son or his son-in-law? What was it again?
I was Clint Eastwood's son.
So you were his son. So Clint is directing this movie and obviously probably casting it, has a big hand in it. Does he just say, hey, Brian kind of looks like a younger me? Is that that's a great compliment, isn't it?
Go ahead, Patrick.
Oh, no, he. I'm sorry, this is Lee. He cast you in that movie to talk down to him, which nobody does to Clint Eastwood in
a
movie.
Right,
which was
You're going to put him in the home. You're going to put him in the home.
Right.
Yeah, well, Clint Eastwood doesn't cast anyone. I mean, doesn't go to casting calls. He sits at his palace in Carmel, and they send him the tapes. And, I mean, he's the Johnny Carson of acting. The guy is the best director you'll ever work for. But it was quite a thrill. I actually auditioned for a smaller part in that movie and almost passed on it because it was just too small of a part. But I thought, well, it's Clint Eastwood, so I better do it. And just for the privilege of working with him at least once. And that was for the construction worker guy that hires the kid. And I was too young for it. And then sure enough, he apparently saw it and said he's too young for that, but he liked my audition, and he said he'd be good for my son. I don't know what his reasoning was, but I'm not going to question it.
I've got to be.
Look like a young Clint Eastwood?
You know what? I think Clint sees in himself a guy like you. He probably, he probably doesn't know anything about your background or anything, but that's how good the guy is. He sees a guy that looks like he could be a young, strong, kind of Midwestern kind of guy. I think he saw a little bit of him in you, so I think that's pretty awesome.
Wow. I never thought of it that way. Awesome.
Who casts someone's son and goes, he's nothing like me? He might as well cast Denzel then. Why doesn't he cast Denzel Washington? Who gives a shit?
Don't pull that off. He's a good actor.
Yeah, he's black. Whatever.
Yeah.
So So, I mean, it's a compliment. I think when Clint Eastwood says, this guy plays my son, that's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was intimidating working with the guy. I mean, you know, you grow up just idolizing him. I can't think of anyone that everyone respects more than Clint Eastwood. I mean, there's just nobody that you say Clint Eastwood to just about anyone. They're like, whoa, he's awesome. There's very few people that I don't know anyone that dislikes him. And you mean since Rowdy Yates and Rawhide, he's had a steady climb that has never gone down. He's never had a valley. And a very personable, likable guy, just like Carson. Really self-effacing. We work out at the same gym. He works out every day, 6 days a week. So we're working out at the gym. Huh?
Because he's 80, right? He's 80. And
he was 79 when he shot that film. Yeah, he's 81 now. Yeah. And working out every day. And see him at the gym there. We're in Detroit, and we got some gym we work out in. I go, hey, Clint, you want your fitness age? He goes, what's that? I go, you know, you see the posters as you walk in, Bill Puckett, actual age 52, fitness age 43. costs like $500. I'll do yours for 50. You're 37. He goes, I just go by how I feel. I said, how do you feel? He says, I feel like I'm 100.
Oh, poor Clint.
Oh.
Boy, that guy, if I can work like he does at his age, though, holy shit. J. Edgar coming out. I'm starting to wonder, who is Scorsese, like, really directing his movies and Clint just, like, puts on a show? Like, where does he get the energy to put out all these four-star movies?
Yeah.
Like, that J. Edgar looks Oscars all over it.
Yeah.
And I've never worked for, to talk about Scorsese, the difference between Scorsese and Eastwood, I've never worked for a more relaxed set than with Clint Eastwood. The first day up is all me. It's all those scenes with me on the phone. So it's, and that's going to be a long day with a lot of dialogue. I'm very nervous. Show up at 9 o'clock and, I mean, the first sign that this was going to be different than any place I'd ever worked before, I asked the director of photography, I go, where are my marks? So that's little pieces of tape where they want you to stand and hit your marks so the cameras can have easier to follow you. And I go, where are my marks? He goes, wherever you want. I go, what?
Oh, wow.
He says, don't worry about it. We'll follow you wherever you want to go. Just go wherever you want. We'll follow you. Like, oh, my God, this is going to be so beautiful. He just lets everyone do what they do best, and he doesn't get in the way.
That's awesome.
Boom, 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 boom. We shoot all his scenes. I mean, I'm out of there at 4 o'clock. We're done with the day. It's from 10 to 4, and that's it. We break for lunch and go home.
Oh, yeah, and that's awesome because that's the one thing I act, and the most annoying thing is marks. That's the most annoying thing on the planet.
It is, and it's really secondary to performance, but you would never know that when you step on a set. I mean, geez,
You kind of feel as an actor like you're stuck with these marks, too. Like you're not allowed to move. So it kind of sucks.
He creates a very relaxed set, and it's very easy to work and get along. Everyone pitches in and does stuff. And, you know, he finishes under budget and under time on every project and almost always gets nominated for some kind of an award, generally an Academy Award.
Yeah, he does pretty well out. He does pretty well out in that Hollywood.
Never raises his voice. I never heard anyone yell. There was no tension on the set ever. It's very relaxed. There are no assholes on a Clint Eastwood set because if you're a prima donna or anything like that, you won't get asked back. He only works with people that are professional and good and don't have attitudes.
So you're saying, Brian, don't invite all the friends onto the set that day? You don't invite them all to hang out?
I would say that there's not many improv actors that are there. Not many people in improv working for Clint Eastwood set. But, you know, it's I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was trying to think of something funny. What'd you say?
No, I was just talking about, like, when you work for a guy like Clint Eastwood or Martin Scorsese, the level of professionalism's got to be, like, anyone that wants to visit, you can't visit. Like, it's just all business.
Well, with Clint, it's just the opposite. Everything is very relaxed and very easygoing, and he doesn't tolerate anyone being, a jerk. I don't know. You ask. I mean, who's directing his movies? You know, he almost lets them direct themselves. He just you take one take, and if he's got it, he's got it. You're moving on. And frequently, you do just one take. He trusts that you're going to bring to the movie what you brought to the audition, and that's what he cast you for. And I can't tell you how many times, and this is my excuse, this is my story, and I'm sticking with it, how many times I've sucked because the director told me to do something different than what I did in the audition, and it did suck. My instinct said this isn't going to work, but I wanted to make the director happy, and sure enough, it sucked. And that's everything I've done that you've seen that sucks. That's my excuse.
I was going to say the Weird Al show. That was it.
Yeah. A lot of sucks.
Al Yankovic. He's always directing people wrong. that's the funny
thing. Al was
been directed by Weird Al and Marty Scorsese.
Weird Al panics if you don't hit your mark.
Yeah.
On set.
Al's a great guy. Al didn't direct that. A guy named Peyton Reed did.
Oh,
you know,
the famous. He's famous. He's got a lot of big movies.
That's
now.
Right.
Yes. He was. He did. What was it? The one where you can't. Yes Man.
Yes Man. Yeah. With Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, the comedian, the famous comedian. Has he done your show?
No. Actually, he canceled tonight. That's why we got you.
Right.
Okay.
When you said who canceled,
it was Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
They did Bring It On, Yes Man, The Breakup. So there you go on the Peyton Reed.
Yeah. Well, Scorsese, on the other hand, is, just like his persona, is very uptight. Not in a bad way. He's just got a lot of energy. And there's yelling on the set sometimes between him and his DP. You know, because I think they're both Italian. Wait a minute. Who's
right.
his DP? Anyways, he looks like an old Italian guy. He's the only guy you ever see yelling at Martin Scorsese. And there was a lot of, he's a perfectionist, and he's just going to grind out this. I mean, both ways work amazing. I mean, obviously, I think Clint Eastwood's more known for his raw, gritty, content and story, and Scorsese's known for his spectacular perfection that he's able to get out of shots. But night and day, different working on the sets. I actually came in for The Departed, was supposed to only work 2 days and wound up working 3 months on the
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Residuals on that were hallelujah time.
So
that's when you open the check and just go start praising Jesus. Like, man, did I make a good decision becoming an actor?
that's the thing. It's I've been told with Clint Eastwood, he comes in on time, under budget, and I'm told with Marty Scorsese, from all my associates who worked with them, is over budget, over time.
Yeah.
You can guarantee it every time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was beautiful. I got paid to sit at home for a while. They sent me home from Boston and said, just go home. We don't need you for a month. And just sitting at home, getting paid every day.
Oh, man.
Beautiful.
Well, give me a Scorsese bill.
On that dole.
Yeah.
He got up every day and ate ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So,
in that regard, Scorsese's my favorite director, if he ever asked me. Yeah.
Who'd you get to do? Who'd you get to work with on The Departed, Brian? Who'd you have scenes with? So who are you hanging out with in this three-month period?
Well, hanging out with, and didn't do a scene with him, but I hung out a little bit with Martin Sheen.
Yeah, he's the greatest ever.
He was a really nice guy. And I told him I'd met his son. This is, when was this, like 2005, 2006, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
So this is way before any of this stuff had happened. And I told him that I met his son at the Upfronts, the CBS announcement of their big fall lineup. And I had a show on CBS that year, and I'd met Charlie and had a funny story about how Rudy from Survivor, remember the Navy SEAL, the old Navy SEAL guy from Survivor?
Oh, yeah.
He had told me something. I'm not going to shake that damn Charlie Sheen's hand. He's a damn communist. Or something like that. I just thought it was funny, and I shared it with Marty, and he kind of gave a little laugh, and then I just complimented his son on how well he was doing, how great he was, and he just stared at me. A little awkward moment there. Do you have some inside information that I should know?
Yeah, it was like looking at you and going, "You mean Emilio?"
Yeah, exactly.
You were
I was unaware of what was going on, what was brewing underneath. Apparently, there was some substance abuse going on at the time, and I was unaware of that.
Poor Martin. He went white real quick. His hair. His hair went white in like a year.
Yeah.
You know, there's some actors that I just think are robbed, and it might sound unfair to say that about him because he had such a great career, but holy cow, did he have in him some great, amazing stuff that I would have loved to have seen him do another, you know, five or six films like Paul Newman or someone. I mean, he just had some great stuff in him.
And he was so great in The Departed.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
I remember I saw the original trilogy that the Asians made. That's the best way I can put it, I guess.
Infernal Affairs.
I saw the original trilogy when it came out.
The Oriental.
And I thought it was the greatest movies I've ever seen. It was up there with The Godfather.
Terrific.
And I said to my friends, I'm like, there's no way that The Departed is going to be any good. I'm the biggest Marty Scorsese fan, being Italian, and I love all his movies, and I love everything. But I'm like, there's no way this is going to be good. And The Departed was fucking amazing. Part of the reason it worked so well was Martin Sheen, because there are not a lot of characters in that movie to really feel for, emotionally connected to. And Martin, and I think we're not spoiling anything at this point, but he ends up getting whacked in the movie. And you just feel.
If you like cell phones, conversations on cell phones, and people getting shot in the head, this will be your favorite movie.
Right.
Yeah, but he's the best. And I wish Martin would do some more movies too, because Apocalypse Now is my favorite flick, maybe ever.
Yeah.
I could watch it every night.
Oh, yeah. It's perfection. I mean, and considering the content is so vile, and yet it's like a magnet, it draws you in. That speaks volumes about how good a movie it is. You know, he does have a new movie out called
The Way or whatever.
Way or The Road, The Way, is that it?
I think it's The Way with him and Emilio.
Emilio directed it. And it
wrote it, yeah.
Yeah, and so he's got that out. But I'm just talking about, I just think from 2011 to, back to, say, 1985, I would have liked to have seen him do some really great stuff like he did in the 70s. It just didn't work out that way, and there's no telling why.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Why isn't Bierko, on a series?
You know what? And I've asked a bunch of my showrunner friends, and they've met with Bierko, and they love Bierko, and they've tried to find stuff to do, and it just hasn't happened yet. But that guy's going to have a series. It's going to happen.
I was actually log rolling there. Matthew was expecting something to come back on me.
Oh, Brian's next. Brian's next, by the way. We're going to get you a series, too.
Well,
I don't need a series. I'll wait. I'll get over you guys a series first. You and Bierko, I'll line you up. I'm young. I can wait.
I'll just be over here.
But you know what I was going to bring up? You already did a series, and you did a series that Bierko guested on as well, which was Wings, which is fantastic show. I think very underrated when it comes to the classics of the last 20 years. I think people forget about Wings, and Wings was a very good show.
You consider its provenance. I mean, Frasier, Taxi, Wings, and am I forgetting something else? Cheers.
Cheers.
That's a pretty good stable of shows. And the writing on that, which was really good. I don't know why it didn't get the respect it deserved, because it really had some great writing in it.
And great actors in it. I mean, that's quite the crew. I mean, I just wanted to commend you on Wings. I thought that's a great show, which you could
that was
on Netflix. You could stream
hard
it.
To fill those shoes, Thomas Hayden Church. You know, I'm filling the shoes of the joke bomb guy. And those are hard shoes. You got to think about how that impacts the rest of a cast. You finally get on a series. Imagine how excited you'll be. From the people who made Frasier and Cheers and all these shows, you finally get on a series. And it's going great. It got picked up, and it's doing good in the ratings, and everything's going great. And everywhere you go, people go, "Oh, Matthew Aaron, oh, yeah, I love you're on that show." You know who I really love on that show? I love that mechanic guy. What's his name?
I'm a Satan Church. He's great. He's great.
So everywhere you go, if you're Brian, what's his name? Brian. Who's the, name some of the other actors on there. Tyne Daly's brother.
Stephen Weber.
Stephen Weber. If you're Stephen Weber,
Tim Daly.
Everywhere you go. You know, that's the problem with being the guy that drops the joke bombs, because Thomas Hayden Church, the
yeah.
show would be going along, and everyone would be doing what we call laying pipe. That in the sitcom world, that's different than in other worlds. It means
he was the one-liner. He was the one-liner.
He'd lay down all the information, and then Thomas Hayden Church just comes in and bombs everything with all these huge bombs. Every time he's on, it's going to be a huge joke.
Yeah.
And then he leaves. And you know, it's like the Locke Gravis role or the Jim Ignatowski role. You know, it's he very rarely has to communicate plot or do anything like that. It's just
yeah.
fun. So those were big shoes to fill. I think I did okay.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, it's kind of funny though, because we've had a bunch of people on, and the rap on Thomas Hayden Church is a great actor, interesting fella.
Yeah, like Bierko. Crazy.
Michael Whitehorn told me Thomas Hayden Church is a cupcake. And I'm not too sure it was a compliment, but yes.
Well, you know, those are the best people to watch. I mean,
No. Go ahead, Brian, because I was just saying, I think he left Wings for Ned and Stacy. But go ahead.
But there's just an interesting thing, a fact about show business that you just got to admit, and that is crazy people are fun to watch.
Yeah.
There's just all this energy. You can take someone that's, I've seen it happen, that is unbelievable to hang out with. Just like you'll be crawling the walls hanging out with them because they're so manic and crazy.
Yeah.
Flip, put a nickel in the camera and turn it on them, and suddenly that's the guy everyone's talking about.
Well, because the key to acting is to perceive that you're being natural on camera, that you're being natural. The perception is this guy isn't acting. That's the key to acting, is that you're not acting.
And I would add a dimension to that.
Yes, go ahead.
I would add a dimension to that. I would say it's to be interesting.
Yes.
And every tendency, you know, the most common fear in the world is the fear of public speaking.
Yes.
People say they fear... I've heard, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard reports that say, statistics that say people fear death less than they fear public speaking. And every inclination in our human bodies is to shrink when they turn the camera on, to freeze up, to not explode, to, you know, when you get in front of everyone and everyone's staring at you, do that impression, do that when you're at the party, and do that thing again, do it again. You know, are you excited and going to do it bigger? No, you know, you start to implode. Like, oh, my God, what if I fail? All that. And so the most important thing about acting is to be interesting, to be full of life and energy, any kind. And so, therefore, a lot of times drug addicts even will look amazing when they're on camera. Because they've got so much craziness going on, they're not pulling any of it back.
You're right. You're right, and that's what it is, and that's why a lot of these people that aren't always like the Charlie Sheens, they're great to watch because they're not all there.
Right.
Jack Nicholson, my favorite actors ever, but Jack is the same way off. You've worked with Jack Nicholson, Brian. You did Mars Attacks with him, correct?
Twice, yeah. I did Mars Attacks.
And The Departed.
In Mars Attacks, I was in every scene with him as the president.
Now, with all due respect to Jack, because we love Jack, but he's just as crazy off the set as he is on set, and that's why he's so great, right?
Yeah, that's what my observation was. There was very little acting going on.
Yeah.
It's just, that's the same guy.
Every story I've heard from people that have personally dealt with him is, if you listen to the story, you would think it came from a scene in the movie, and then you realize you're talking about hanging out with Jack in like the editing room or something. But you think it's like this great scene from one of his crazy movies. No, it's just from hanging out with him. You catch on halfway through the story. You're like, oh wait, you were with Jack and he was doing this. That's how it is.
Well, I've actually got to get back to a script I'm writing right now. I'm working with a friend up in Boston.
Yes.
A producer friend, writing a script. I'll give you the one line on it. Tell me what you think. Be honest with me.
Okay.
Make me work on something that you don't think is good.
Okay.
No, we'll
one
be honest.
One line. Is it a sitcom? Is it a drama? What am I expecting?
It's a comedy.
Okay.
Desperate out-of-work director talks his desperate out-of-work actor friend into joining the National Guard so that they can shoot an epic war movie on location.
That's
good.
It has
promise.
It has promise. Maybe a little satire in there.
Yeah, well, I would expect it to be a war satire, right? Uh-huh. Now, let me ask you this, Brian. What's the difference between your script and, let's say, a Tropic Thunder?
The title.
Okay, the title.
Ours is called Action, with an exclamation point.
Oh, well, that's good. I like the exclamation point. It's a nice touch.
But it's basically Tropic Thunder. We took out all the bad casting.
Oh,
That'll make two movies you've been in that have exclamation points, that and Mars Attack.
Yeah, Mars Attack.
Oh, yes. I did not know that.
Oh, that's pretty great. Well, Brian, do you have anything else you need to promote?
I'm working on a video game with EA Sports. If you're into football, I'm doing that'll be coming out after Christmas.
Yeah.
I can't say what it is. They want to keep a lid on what it is. I think that's kind of stupid, but that's the prerogative. It's not Madden.
Yeah, it's not Madden, right.
Right. So it's something that will come out, a football game that will come out after Madden.
It's an NFL product even, or is it?
It's an NFL game.
Okay.
You know, if it's football with EA, it's got to be NFL.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. You know. And so I did that. I wrote that with a very funny guy named Tim Kitzrow from Chicago. Do you know him?
No, I do not.
Tim's a brilliantly funny guy.
He has a funny last name.
Improvisation guy. Very, very funny. And he does the voice of NBA Jam and all that stuff. If you've
ever heard really?
Him.
I love NBA Jam.
Boom, shakalaka. He's that guy. So he and I wrote the script, and it's very funny. It's a funny game. This is more of a funny, silly thing than...
Oh, wow. So this is a Ryan Haley video game.
Well, it's an NFL video, and I do color commentary, and Tim does the play-by-play, and it's very silly and funny and violent, and I think people will love it.
Awesome. All right. This could be really cool.
I just want to get out of here before I become too much of a blowhard. I mean...
Oh, you're not... No. Not only are you not blowhard, but when you do come out to L.A. that once a year for pilot season, come sit in.
Are you in L.A.?
I'm moving out there, Thursday night, Friday.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, sure, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, you know, making this whole career thing happen. I'm moving out of Mom's basement, Brian.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah. How's your mom feel about that?
You know what? I thought she wanted to get rid of me, and now I found out she wants me not to leave.
Because she's losing $500 a month, I'll bet.
Yeah, she wishes. No, she loses her dog watchers, and...
Yeah.
Here we go. And EA announces NFL Blitz Revival January 2012. Are you doing the new Blitz game? You can't say.
I didn't say that. Where did you see that?
Well, one of my crack research team, Justin Bieber over here, has looked up. You can't confirm or deny.
I cannot confirm nor deny. That is the game Tim Kitzrow and I wrote the comedy for.
I will tell you
I will say this. I have seen the old Blitz, and it's a fantastic game.
I was just going to say, Brian,
that's true.
I go ask Steve. Steve,
yes.
Where do I go play Blitz? At the arcade.
We go to the arcade. It's like $10 all you can play. You've got the record.
I have the top
You've
score
got
for
the
Blitz.
Top score, yeah.
At the arcade.
Yeah,
because you can give people the elbow, and you can do the pro wrestling moves. You can hit them after they're out of bounds. It's a blast.
Well,
it's a fun game.
You know, whatever. I'm not saying I do those things. Yeah, Steve, you got a question for Brian before we let him go?
Brian, yes, this is Steve Weirich. Just one question. Speaking of football, do you have any good Ed O'Neill stories?
Oh, little giant.
You
watched Eddie O'Neill,
Jim. I was chomping.
Ed O'Neill. You know, I don't remember much about Eddie. He's a really nice guy and a great person to work with. He got changed in his trailer while I was talking to him, so I saw him in his underwear. That's all I could say. He's got great legs.
Tidy whiteys or boxers on the Ed O'Neill?
Tidy whiteys. He's an ex-football player, college football player, I believe.
Yeah,
he's
Polk
in great shape.
Touchdowns in one game.
Polk High. No, but he really played at Toledo something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Something like that in Ohio. But he's a tidy whitey guy. Well, it's good to know about that.
Yeah. He was, Ed was a great guy. I had a more interesting, what's his name?
Rick Moranis.
The other guy.
Yeah,
Rick Moranis story. I don't think Rick Moranis liked me.
Why?
Because I was the lol character. I was the joke bomb guy. This is Rick's a very funny guy, and he's a big star. He's a comic legend.
Legend. He's hired too right now or something.
And it's a very fickle business. You've got to stay on top of your game, and you've got to really shine. And he's doing a kids movie, so he wants to be funny. And here I come in, stealing his thunder on these scenes, being the big joke bomb guy. And so
I think retired Rick Moranis is what I think, Brian.
There was a lot of me finishing the scene and then him not making eye contact, and then the director saying take five, and then a lot of these watching the director as Rick Moranis points in my general direction and starts talking God only knows what. I don't know.
You know what? None of this shocks me. None of this blows my mind.
I think
Napoleon complex like I do.
It brought out some great angst out of me, I think, and made. I was really happy. It was one of the few projects I've ever done where I was happy with my performance. I thought I did a really good job on Little Giants.
I thought you did too. I watched it like 200 times as a kid.
Oh yeah.
I joke around the other day. I saw Casino, and I posted on Facebook. I've now seen Casino more times than Marty Scorsese, and I think Little Giants I've seen more times than anyone that's worked on that movie.
Wow.
Few. I'm a big fan. Well, when I was growing up, it was all the sports movies. I liked the sports comedies.
Yeah.
Little Giants and Rookie of the Year came out like the same year. So I was in, it was mana for me. I was in heaven.
Yeah.
Well,
fantastic.
Brian, I really appreciate you doing the show. I thought you were fantastic. We look forward to your video game that may or not be NFL Blitz. And I really hope you do the show again when you're in LA.
Oh, I'd love to. It was a pleasure doing it, and I'll make sure I have more jokes next time.
And if you see Craig Bierko before I do, say hello.
Okay. Very good. Thanks.
Good to talk to you,
Brian. Nice talking to you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Brian Haley there.
Yeah.
And that was
any movie that...
Wait just a second. What's going on here?
What?
We have breaking news. Breaking news.
Pardon me.
Ed O'Neill wears Tidy Whitey.
Oh.
Breaking news.
I had that question in the vault, hoping you weren't going to ask it about Ed O'Neill and Little Giant.
About his underwear?
Well,
that was your question in the vault?
I'm really glad you got that in. I am really glad we got in some Ed O'Neill
so
talk.
I'm the Ed O'Neill boner around here. Any Ed O'Neill reference, and I'm on
I thought Brian was great. You know who he reminded me of having on is Neil Flynn. Like, very, very soft-spoken, yet funny.
Yeah.
Funny.
Dry funny.
Dry funny, yes. Yeah. Very dry funny. And, though, when people say I'm dry funny, I'm wondering if they're saying I'm not funny.
Well, I think that too often dry funny is confused with the type of people who try to make jokes, but the jokes are actually, like, attacks on people.
Yes.
You know, that are thinly veiled.
I thought Brian was great. He had some great stories, too.
He was, yeah.
We talked Carson. We talked Clint Eastwood, Marty Scorsese.
We talked
Weird Al.
Bierko, Weird Al, Ed O'Neill, Eastwood. We did not leave anyone out. Martin Sheen. That was good.
So I have to say, if it is Blitz, Brian Haley's my new favorite.
I
love that little ditty.
You beat Nick in it all the time.
I did not get to ask him, how did he get into the video game business? What makes you decide to do a video game?
Oh, he said that.
He clearly didn't get roped. He wanted to do it.
Well, it was his friend. His friend was involved.
They wrote it.
Yeah, they wrote it.
Yeah, they co-wrote
it. Just friends working on things together. And that.
We should write a video game for this show.
Yeah, why are
about
we
this
in
show?
That
I know. We could do that.
I still love the John Williams-esque music we're doing here.
Well, it's all the news here. We're talking the news.
Is this John Williams music?
So I felt like we got some good news in there. We got a great Bierko story where he was rolling around in straw and hay.
I feel like we're just arriving in Jurassic Park.
Let me tell you about Craig.
Please tell us about Craig, who hates me.
He doesn't hate you. You're just the other guy.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm not even shocked anymore when I hear Craig's stories. No. I just kind of throw my hands up in the air and go, yeah.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah. You didn't even get to tell your fantastic nipple hair story about
Craig. Told that one like 50 times.
Way too many times.
But yeah. I do have, well, what's the part of the story totally was the same as, oh, the 15 minutes late thing,
yes.
Right? And the whole time Craig, because Craig doesn't drive, I guess. So the whole time you're waiting for Craig, he'll be like texting you, talking you. And he's one of those guys that's texting you up until he walks up to you and sends it.
Oh, geez.
You know, like he's right in front of you and still sends a text.
Yes. My mom does that, actually.
He's the best, so I love Craig. He's the greatest. 27722Kid.
Yes. Yes, he actually was
$10
while
Melinda Children's
happy.
Hospital. Text 27722Kid.
The last time I did that and told him on Twitter, he was very happy about that and made a really Craig joke. It was a very Bierko joke of him.
Yeah, what is a very Bierko joke?
He made a Bierko.
On a very Bierko Christmas?
I was going to say, I want to see a very Bierko Christmas. Yeah.
Well, we know Boo's wrapped in a bow of
it. Actually,
it'll be in May.
I think Craig's half Jew, so it'd be a very Bierko Christmas car.
Yeah, Christmas.
Hanukkah.
Well, in both events, there's a fire, and then me, instead of a bearskin carpet, there's me on the floor as the carpet.
Bearskin carpet?
Yeah, well,
yeah, while you're on this, when this music's playing for you?
Yes. Well, that or my head's mounted above the fireplace, either or.
Yeah. I don't think Craig's going to have you laying out on the bearskin.
No.
No,
I am the bearskin.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
but
right.
I'm sure your hands are under
your mouth is open.
Yeah, your mouth's wide
open
and
yeah.
your fists are right under your jaw and you're like, hi. And then when people step on you, the Will and Grace theme plays.
Oh.
Or the Ally McBeal theme since Craig was on Ally. If you step on Steve, this is what plays. Yeah. If you step off him, it stops. And then you step on him, step off.
This is great.
Step on him.
Don't give Craig any ideas, damn it.
What's the other show Craig was on? That
Boston Legal. Sex in the City.
Sex in the City.
Would
you
be,
step on Steve.
That would be my hell.
And the speaker's like in Steve's ass.
Yeah.
So you just see this like tail pop up and the sound come out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like a Tex Avery cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That would be my luck.
That's adorable.
That's adorable. My ass shooting out Sex in the City theme.
Yes.
Yeah. Adorable.
You know what I'm looking forward to?
What's that?
So Bruce Fretz is officially in for Wednesday.
That he is.
And he said who else is doing the show. And I know he's not listening tonight, so we can gossip a little about this.
Oh, yes.
But if I get Craig Bierko on the show Wednesday.
Great.
Craig, I'd like to introduce you to the man that jeered Unhitched. Man that jeered Unhitched, I'd like to introduce you to Craig Bierko.
Oh.
It's
going to
be priceless.
Can we bring friends together here?
I don't know. That's,
I've been trying to get them to be friends. Haven't I told you this on the show?
Yeah, but that, I don't know.
I suggested Craig as a friend
Bruce. If two people you think don't want to be friends, you shouldn't try to make them be friends.
I don't think it's two people. I think it's one person. I think Bruce is scared of Craig, and Bruce is intimidated. Because I've suggested
Craig can't do anything
Bruce.
Through the phone.
I suggested Craig to
yes,
Bruce,
he can.
And Bruce wouldn't add his friendship.
Why?
I don't know. Bruce Fretz would not add Craig Bierko. So I'm trying to mend fences here. I'm not
mend.
Trying because Bruce thinks I'm starting trouble with him and Craig.
Listen, not everybody's going
to
get along, you know.
No, this is Hollywood. We all get along, damn it.
I think this idea is phenomenal, by the way. I love the idea.
Hey, don't play this song around Craig, though.
Oh, no, please. Oh, you went there!
Some bitter feelings may come to... Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
But you know what you could play?
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
You could play the Almost Heroes theme. I don't know that.
Oh.
No.
That's his revenge.
Yeah.
Well, him and Matthew Perry are still good friends.
Very tight.
Very yeah. tight, yeah.
Well, so. I was wondering if Craig was up for that role, too, in Almost
please, please
Heroes.
Turn this off.
Maybe we should
well,
play it louder,
so
then.
So, wait, let me ask you this, Lee. Do you think Craig's happy that you hate Friends? Or do you think Craig'd still rather have been on Friends, looking back?
I think he's with me on the Friends.
Oh, he's happy.
Yeah. I think this is.
I'm sure.
This is what this would be my icebreaker for when I meet him.
I'm sure Wayne goes to the holiday parties at the Perry Mansion.
He'd be like, hey, how you doing, Lee? I'm Craig. I'm like, hi, Craig. I'm Lee. I don't like friends.
So can I say this? I think we're getting very close to me being like just as good as Dave. No.
No. You were right on the cusp.
Am I on the cusp?
You're on the cusp.
Am I at least better than Fallon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leno, am I better than Leno?
We're going to get a letter from Leno if I say my answer.
Or a call.
He's going to call. Hey, Lee, you should, because he'll have a famous person calling you.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
he'll be like, Jay Leno called today.
Yeah, that'll be the only thing time I ever get called by a famous person is when Jay calls me. Be like, you know, these guys, you podcast, they're really neat.
Well, yeah, why do you guys always talk about me like in a facetious manner?
Well,
yeah.
That does it. Matthew Aaron is better than Jay Leno as an interviewer.
Oh,
there.
Wow.
There.
Okay.
Bow.
Oh, and let's just be on the
record. What a brazen show.
I don't know. Matt, you on the toilet might be better than Fallon, though. I would talk to you on the
Wow.
Well, I think Jimmy's show's actually pretty good. No. Bruce Fretz loves Jimmy's show.
Well, Kimmel
and so
or Fallon?
My dad.
Kimmel or Fallon?
Fallon.
I love Kimmel.
I love Kimmel.
Oh,
my dad loves Fallon, as you
Your
know.
Your dad was down here. Briefly.
Oh, he wasn't watching Skinamax?
No.
I mean, Fallon?
That's hilarious.
Do you think Matt could beat up a cheetah?
Yes, I do. He'd powerbomb the cheetah.
Okay.
That's yeah, smart.
No, he would powerbomb the cheetah.
He's right. I would go to
and
a powerbomb.
And then he would DDT it.
I would go to a powerbomb maneuver.
Yes.
You know what I saw on the Netflix yesterday?
What was that?
Chop Kick Panda. And here's the plot. Totally not based on Kung Fu Panda from DreamWorks. Chop Kick Panda involves a panda fighting a tiger. And that's like the plot. So it actually is Kung Fu Panda.
Right.
And the pandas even look alike. You got to see this. Chop Kick Panda. Total ripoff.
Well, who made this? What studio?
Not DreamWorks. Got news for you there.
Chop Kick Panda.
Highly doubt it was the works.
Yeah.
Well, let me look at who made it. Chop Kick Panda.
I love how I got Melrose Place here all of a sudden. What the heck?
Well, because I'm gossiping.
Oh, good. Good enough. All right. Couldn't we
Chop Kick Pandas. I'm at Amazon.com. IMDb. Here we go.
We couldn't have had Party of Five.
A fat, lazy panda named Zebu dreams of becoming a master of martial arts, but is stuck as a... Hold on. I got to...
This can't be a real... Yeah. All right.
It is real.
Are you sure it's not?
But is stuck as a mere cleaner for a dojo. Little does he know that an evil tiger has plans to take over the kingdom, and he must stop him. There is nobody that you would ever know in this, though.
What? But is this like?
There's a grandmaster that trains him.
DreamWorks.
Oh, you want to know what company does this?
Yeah.
Renegade Animation.
Oh boy.
Let me see what else they've done.
Now we went Beverly Hills 90210.
Well, no other ripoffs, so they're just starting to rip off with this.
Wow.
Mad. What's Mad?
Mothers Against Drunk Driving?
I don't think so.
That organization?
Oh, they have the TV series Mad.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just saying Mad in general.
I didn't know.
Mad,
so I just
Mad
looked.
TV?
They did the animation.
Oh.
Oh, with the Spy vs.
So,
Spy?
But Chop Kick Panda doesn't look like a parody.
No.
It looks like a ripoff.
From the makers of Shark Story.
Yeah, Shark Story.
And Finding Remus.
Finding Remus? Oh.
Not since The Amazing.
Anyone else? I hate doing celebrity gossip, but Daryl Hammond reveals he drank, did crack, and cut himself in his new memoirs. Do we care, not care?
Can you believe that? He drank.
Do we not care or care that he's a crack addict and cut himself?
I'm indifferent. I wouldn't say I don't care.
He did a darn good
Bill
Clinton.
Indifferent means I don't care.
He kept a pint of Remy in his desk at work.
Uh-huh.
The drinking calmed my nerves and quieted the disturbing images that sprang into my head.
Was this
when drinking didn't work, I cut myself.
Was this during SNL?
Yeah.
Wow.
The crack addiction was just the latest twist in a cocaine addiction, which began in 2002.
Crack?
Yeah.
A white man?
I started adding... Well, Tracy Morgan was on the show, though.
Oh,
oh I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Why you guys
so say, is Tim Meadows.
Why you guys,
oh, come on.
Why you
got to
talk
Cleghorn.
That way about Tracy Morgan?
Oh, come on. Ellen Cleghorn was there, too.
To be fair, you do have a reputable source. We sat in Borders and read Tracy Morgan's book.
Well,
you're not making things up. You're not talking on a shop. It's in his book.
I started adding an obscene amount of cocaine to my binges. I had to be creative about how I did it with other people catching on or letting it interfere with the work, at least too much. Throughout his abuse, he did manage to put a number of supporting film roles in TV guest spots. Yeah, well, I've seen him.
What movies was he in, by the way?
Daryl Hammond?
Yeah. I know
he's been in movies.
I've drawn a blank. I know
he has,
too.
They're all bad Saturday Night Live movies.
Oh, God.
I'm sure he was in Ladies Man.
Yeah.
I got to imagine he was in Ladies Man.
Yeah.
Maybe Night at the Roxbury. Was he in that?
Superstar.
I don't know.
Superstar, yeah.
I think he was in Superstar, yeah. I don't know about
that. He was in Damages last year. He was on Damages last year, and he was very good in the couple episodes he was in.
Yeah, my aunt got those on DVD. I want to watch them. I hear it's an amazing
show. One of my favorite shows. Really is. Well, let's see. They're at it again. Do we care about David Arquette and Courtney Cox getting back together?
This was on the radio late last night.
No, it was. Howard thinks they're not back together.
That's where I heard it from. If it's really juicy gossip, I'd say read it.
I don't really care.
No.
Okay.
First of all, it's not juicy gossip unless somebody like
Matt Damon
cheated
and Ben Affleck
or
are
killed
working
somebody.
They're working together again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben Affleck's directing a movie that Matt and Casey are going to star in about a mobster.
Okay.
I'm assuming Matt's writing it, directing it, and acting in it.
Mm.
And Ben's just saying he's directing it.
It's a good
like
assumption good, to
like
make.
The last time they worked together. But I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Affleck's
joke.
A talented guy. I love Ben. J-Lo explains crying episode. No one cares. Robert Pattinson is a very paranoid person. Do we
no,
care?
No.
Glee sex scene details revealed.
Hello.
Oh, we're going to... All right, sorry.
No way! Exclamation with a picture of Steven Spielberg.
What?
See, that's good.
Okay, they just want us to open this up.
Yeah.
That's vague. I like
that.
Yeah,
vague enough, but like, no way!
No, it might be stupid, though.
Steven Spielberg gives job to a fan who created Tintin title credits. You know the expression, dress for the job you want. James Curran, a talented graphic designer who out of sheer love for the Herge Adventure series Tintin.
Herge.
Whatever, who gives a fuck. Decided to put his motion graphic skills to work and make the opening credits for Steven Spielberg's big screen release. Just for fun. And guess what? The title's found its way to the head honcho himself. Imagine that. Hey, this kid's got talent sequence. And Spielberg, so impressed by Curran's work, invited him to Tintin's UK premiere, and then he offered him a job on his next film.
Wow. That's at least interesting. That's an interesting story.
Well, you know what this reminds me of? What did David Dean Bottrell say on our show the other day? If you want someone to do a favor for you,
do something for them.
Do something for them. Prove to them why they should do something for you.
There it
and
is.
And then without you even asking, they'll ask you.
Yep. Classic case of that right there. Wow.
Oh, God. I'm gonna drown out there. I hate doing stuff for people.
But you can't be serious.
I'm teasing.
Are you? We got the sound
bite. Lee's not a giver.
We got the sound bite.
He's a taker.
He is.
He's a catcher, not a pitcher.
He is a catcher.
Uh-oh.
Kevin Bacon reviews new Footloose. We know he liked it, so who cares?
He's
too Hollywood to say he doesn't like it, by the by.
God, I hate Footloose.
Hey, let me ask you speaking of you hating Footloose.
Yeah.
The song.
Have you heard
the
new Footloose cover by Blake Shelton?
No, but
I'm gonna hear it now.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna say I'm about to.
Here we go.
Well, how interested are you? And if Ken Hommel's listening, I'm sure he's turning off our show.
Oh no,
play it
because Ken told me he will never listen to this song.
Okay.
He's that upset by it. It's really, really bad.
How did the movie do, by the way?
It did poorly the first week. It did hold steady this weekend, though, so mildly a success. I doubt it, though. You ready for this? You people always rip on Kenny fucking Loggins. Let me fucking tell you something right fucking now. Okay? Okay? You're all a bunch of cunts. You don't know anything. Kenny Loggins is about to blow this Blake Shelton out of the water. I'm going to play this song. Then I'm going to play Kenny Loggins. And you fucking tell me.
I like
that
him.
Kenny Loggins is
so
good.
I play his music on my golf bag.
Okay, good. That's good.
Thank you.
Do the clubs like pop out?
Yeah.
There, fly out.
The TV.
So hard, I'm punching my car. 8 hours for what? Oh, tell me what I got. I get this feeling, time's just holding me down.
Now, Blake Shelton demanded the only way he would do this soundtrack album is if he did this song. They didn't want to give Blake Shelton this song to do.
No,
and everyone I talked to said Footloose remake is basically line for line the original movie.
Yeah, I hear that they tried to even have it be shot for shot.
Yeah, I heard it's very close to it. Yeah. So let me play you a little bit of Kenny Loggins. Tell me this is worse than Blake Shelton. Leonard Cannata.
Everybody cut fucking Footloose.
How's this worse?
It's not
this
worse.
This is talented.
This is great. Well, the other version is like trying to sound country almost.
It is country.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, this is a real 80s song.
There's no remaking Loggin.
Now listen to this again. By the way, this song is about cutting foot loose. Fucking smile, Blake Shelton. You don't fucking smile in the video.
Yeah.
If you watch the video, there's no smile. He's singing this like it's a fucking ballad.
When you cut loose,
Meatloaf over
when
here.
You cut loose, foot loose, and kick off the Sunday shoes, you gotta have a smile. You can't be wearing a grin.
By the way, I did want to announce for our listeners, Leonard Cannata has arrived for our second to last show here.
And was dancing.
You look like you've lost some pounds. On the face. You know, I've been sick. I'm supposed to go out and eat. I know.
Oh, this divorce.
Look.
Oh, boy.
Are we going in OT or are we just going to wait till Wednesday?
Let's wait.
Wait till Wednesday?
Although Lenny's just screaming to be put on the mic, though.
Why?
Oh, why?
I got to do it.
Oh,
well, they want to come over Wednesday.
Oh.
I already talked to Bruce and Bierko.
Oh, Brucey
Fretz.
Mr. Bruce. Yeah, you know.
That's my mom calls him.
Yeah, he does.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
I'm surprised he takes the Jersey Transit system, to be honest.
By the way, is it just me? Or is Judd Hirsch kind of sexy?
Yeah. Oh, I love non-sequitur.
Mix it up.
I love non-sequitur Monday. It's my favorite day.
Just so I'd mix it up.
Okay.
Brian Haley told Patty had a lot of fun on the show.
We
had a lot of fun with Brian Haley.
He was a great guest.
It's not often I get someone that's worked with Scorsese on the show.
Yeah.
True.
Having actors from The Departed on the show.
Yeah.
That's my new theory.
It's not.
If you've done The Departed, you could come on the show.
It's not every day we can get someone that'll tell us what Martin Sheen and Clint Eastwood and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. All right, so I'll give you two options. Do I play the rest of Loggins to sign out or Shelton?
Loggins.
Loggins. Let me say first, I'm doing a show at Sugar Grove, which is, I guess, Aurora.
Is that a real town?
Yes, a real town. Aurora okay. Open Range Grill on
Sugar
Saturday.
Grove.
Open Range Grill this Saturday. It's a Halloween-related show. You can check Open
Range
on Facebook.
You make it out to Sugar Grove often?
Bring your tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's west of 290.
Yeah.
West of 290.
Oh, 294?
Yeah.
Oh, it does. No, it doesn't. 290 doesn't run through Aurora, though. It turns to 88.
Open Range Halloween Bash.
Well, I was figuring that that meant you don't go on 88 is what I figured that meant.
Oh, he tries. He doesn't want to catch suburbia. He doesn't want to catch it.
Oh, he's caught it. He's caught it.
It catches
hot
you.
And heavy.
Oh, hot.
Oh, we're supposed to wait for turns, though, by the way. Yeah. That's what he says.
Loggins it is.
Yeah. All right, Loggins. Does that man just not sound like he's about ready to cut fucking Footloose?
No, he actually sounds like he's cutting it. The other guy, no cutting.
He's cutting nothing.
Now I gotta cut loose, Footloose. Kick up your Sunday shoes.
I never remember the rest.
Louis.
Louis.
Hold me up.